So as we begin the ninth chapter, we're going to see then the details of how this nation is going further and further down into a state of moral and physical decay. So as we move into the ninth chapter of the book of Judges, the first verse says, "And Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem unto his mother's brethren, and communed with them, and with all the family of the house of his mother's father, saying." So we see now Abimelech is not going to be up to any good thing here. He's going to scheme and connive and really bring about a bad situation. He went to Shechem unto his mother's brother. Now, as we know, his mother lived at Shechem. She was a concubine of Gideon. And Shechem is a major city in the nation, and it's also a major city in the tribe of Ephraim. Abimelech went to Shechem for the purpose of trying to sell the leaders of that city on the idea of making him king. And one of the things that he would use to put his argument across would be the idea that if he were king, then Shechem would become the national capital, and consequently it would give this city a lot more prestige in addition to what it already had. And so in the second verse, we see how he goes about this. He's talking to the house of his mother's father, saying, "Speak, I pray you, in the ears of all the men of Shechem, whether it is better for you, either that all the sons of Jerubbaal, which are 70 persons, reign over you, or that one reign over you. Remember also that I am your bone and your flesh." So he's appealing to his mother's family, to the house of his mother's father, trying to get them to help carry this idea for him and to sell the city on this idea. And so he uses this reasoning. Is it better to have 70 people to reign over you? That's what all the other sons of Jerubbaal number to. And he implies that they're wanting to reign, that they're wanting to be the king or kings over Israel. Is it better to have 70 or is it better to have one? Let one man make the decision. Let me be that one man. Now, we have no reason to think that these 70 sons of Gideon were wanting to be king at all. There is nothing said about that. So this is more than likely a very false idea that he puts forth here. And as a matter of fact, Gideon said that not only would he not be king, but none of his sons would be. So we know that it wasn't the will of Gideon for this to happen. And so probably Abimelech is lying here when he says this. But this is the reason that he uses. Better to have one than to have 70 reign over you. And then remember also that I am your bone and your flesh. If I am king, you're going to have somebody that's your relative that's going to be in this high position. This is not going to be just somebody that is kin to Gideon, but it's going to be somebody that's also kin to you. And so look what you have to gain by putting me in this position. Verse 3, "And his mother's brethren spake of him in the ears of all the men of Shechem all these words." So the mother's brethren, Abimelech's kinship on the side of his mother, started to liking this idea. They talked to all the men of Shechem. That is, they spread the word around. They made the political advancement for him. They tried to make people like the idea of Abimelech being the king. And so they worked for him. Just like any other area of politics, the workers got out there and worked for him, except in this case it was his own kinsmen. "And their hearts inclined to follow Abimelech." Now, they wanted to follow Abimelech. And this really wasn't originally their idea at all. It was Abimelech's idea. Abimelech didn't just, on the surface, seem to suit anybody to be the king. But after he got through with his political conniving and telling them what advantage they would have by putting him in this position, then their hearts inclined to follow him. For they said, "He is our brother." So they wanted to follow him. And this kinship thing, the fact that he came from this city of Shechem, the fact that it would propel Shechem into the national spotlight, all these factors were in Abimelech's favor. And we notice in verse 4 what they did then to help Abimelech gain his goal. "And they gave him 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Baal-berith, wherewith Abimelech hired vain and light persons which followed him. So they gave him 70 pieces of silver. We don't know how much that was, actually. For the weights and measures are so vague that it could have been a much greater amount or a lesser amount than we might imagine. But they got it out of the house of Baal-berith, that is, out of the temple of this god that they were following. And it was either money that had been donated to the god, given to this god as a religious thing, or it was the treasure of the city that was left in the house of this god for safekeeping. But nevertheless, we see that the whole thing is tainted right here from this place, because now Abimelech is a hireling of this god of Baal-berith. And that's the god that the people had gone over to. And so the God of heaven has nothing to do with this. This is a very ungodly, unholy, unsavory thing from the very beginning. And so he hired vain and light persons which followed him. He didn't get anybody of any high caliber, but he got the lowest people of the city to follow him. Verse 5, and he went unto his father's house at Ophrah and slew his brethren, the sons of Jerubbaal, being 70 persons upon one stone. So they did a very tragic and terrible thing. They killed the sons of Gideon. 70 sons, except for one. And they slew them upon one stone. That is, it seemed to be all in one place. Somehow they got them gathered together in one place, and they killed them all there at this one spot. Now this shows us several things. Shows us the length to which people will go to gain their ambition. Whatever Abimelech got out of this, he got it the wrong way. He got it by murder. He got it by conniving. He got it by lying and false implications. It shows us how little regard that the nation now had for the family of Gideon. And as the last verse of the 8th chapter says, neither showed they kindness to the house of Jerubbaal, namely Gideon, according to all the goodness which he'd shown unto Israel. They didn't show his family any kindness, and as a matter of fact, his sons were murdered, and the murderer got away with it. The murderer was put into a high position after having done this. It also shows us the disadvantage of being in a high place in society. These sons were sons of Gideon, the greatest man of the nation at the time of his death. And so because they're in the national spotlight, then to put them to death is going to be a great thing for somebody to do in the eyes of ungodly people. But notwithstanding, yet Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left, for he hid himself. So they killed all the sons but one. But they didn't get Jotham. Jotham was left. He hid himself. And we're going to see that this then is going to be a major factor in a changing of the situation, because Jotham is going to go into action. Verse 6, and all the men of Shechem gathered together, and all the house of Millo, and went and made Abimelech king by the plain of the pillar that was in Shechem. Now, the men of Shechem did this. They made Abimelech king. They gathered together in all the house of Millo. Now this house of Millo would be the council, the general council of the city, the governing body of the city. So they got together and they went and made Abimelech king by the plain of the pillar that was in Shechem. Now God did not intend for Abimelech to be king. He was not suited to be king. Nevertheless, this people, at the urging of Abimelech himself, this people decided to put him into this position of kingship. And it's implied later that this is intended for him to be the king of the whole nation. Although the headquarters, the capital of this government that was not authorized by God, was to be located at Shechem. So we see then how further into depravity the nation goes. They've elected a man to be king who has propelled himself into this position. He was put in here because he was kin to the prominent people of Shechem, and because he appealed to the baser motives of the people of Shechem to put him in this position. They have a man who is a murderer. He killed his 70 brothers. They have a man who is supported and funded out of the house of this god of Baal-berith, who is their idolatrous god. And so the nation is on its way to true absolute depravity in the sight of God. There is nothing good about this fact of Abimelech making himself king. But it is not what God wants. Even though the majority of the people seem to allow this thing to happen, it seems that some of the most prominent ones want it to happen, it's not what God wants. And so we must today keep one keen eye open as to what God wants and not allow ourselves to be drawn into a bad situation simply because of what man wants. And we must not allow ourselves to find ourselves to be followers of man, to find ourselves to be followers of a false god simply because of some base desire and notion on the part of man. And although we may blame the men of Shechem for bringing this thing about, we can also equally blame the rest of the nation for allowing it to happen, for sitting by and allowing the sons of Gideon to be slain with nobody taking vengeance, nobody forcing Abimelech to flee to a city of refuge and have a trial, everybody just sitting back and letting it happen. So the complacency and the idolatry, the sin, the forgetting of God and the forgetting of Gideon all added up to them allowing this man Abimelech to be their king. And we're going to see how that it's a terrible, tragic situation for the nation. But we're going to close at that point. Till next time, this is NC Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.